Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. And I am going to play a song for you to give everyone a chance to come on board. Here we go. All right, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project, and we'd like to say hello to everyone. Shalom, shalom. I hope that everyone remembered to set their clocks forward. Today's Spring Forward Day, and a lot of people forgot. Blog Talk Radio Show even forgot. So I know everybody else probably tried to forget, too. But we are here. We're excited. I'm waiting on my co-host to come on the line so we can get started. I hope he didn't forget. I did send him a message to let him know, you know, that we were having the show right now. So hopefully he will be with us momentarily. I just decided to do a little different song this time. I'm kind of excited about some things that we're going to talk about today. We have some very serious issues that we're going to deal with, as we always do. Some friends that we have invited on the show, as we always do. And I wanted to warn you guys, I am on my cell phone conducting this interview on the show. If you do not hear me and there is some downtime and the call drops, please do not hang up. I will be calling back in. And that's been happening a lot today. I'm not sure why, but I just wanted to inform you so that you would know, you know, what was going on and why it was going on the way it was going on. So there's a lot of things that are happening today. We have a couple pastors that we've invited on the show. We have even invited President Barack Obama. So we'll see what happens today. Who knows? He just may decide to join us on this show. We have a couple questions that we'd like to ask him pertaining to our future. You know, so the Yehuda Project is reaching out. We're going to be reaching out to as many high officials as we possibly can so that we can kind of go over some of the things that are happening among us right now in our nation, because this is a pretty serious time. And I'm not quite sure if everyone's aware of what's going on in the Ukraine. We're going to deal with that today. We're going to deal with some other things that are happening, some current events that are happening today, and some exciting things that are happening for us as a people. So, as I said, I invited some Christian pastors to come on the line today, which I'm really excited about. If you are part of our show right now, you do not have to say anything. We ask everyone to please participate by listening. If you would like to give a comment, please push 1 and we will get you right on. We deal with, this is the nation of Yehuda. We are the Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. Some of us have come out of Christianity, come out of Islam, come out of different religions, understanding what our ethnicity is. Some of us still believe in the Christ. Some of us do not. Some of us believe in Old Testament only. Some of us believe in the Torah only. And then we have some that believe the whole book. We're a very multicultural group of people, and we have multiple interpretations of the scriptures. So, you know, the one thing that we deal with that everyone does have in common is our ethnicity. And in understanding that, it gives us an opportunity to sit down together, to reason together as prophecy relates to our future. We do believe that our ancestors were brought here by force. We can verify that by reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 16 down to 68, and that this was a curse that was put upon us as a people, that we would be taken from our land, and that we would be actually in a strange land, our names would be taken from us, our language, our culture, and that we would be assimilated into this culture for almost 400 years. So these are some of the things that we do believe. We believe, some believe the 400-year prophecy has already taken place. With the Egyptians, we do not. The Yehuda Project does not believe that. We have a different belief system with that, and that's what we said before. We all have our own different interpretation of the scripture as it relates to that, and we try our best to keep our conversation as generalized as possible without going into a debate. Our nation is very good for debating scriptures. We do not do that on this show. We do not feel that it is necessary to debate about scriptures because a man's beliefs, we believe, are already infused in him one way or the other. So to debate about an issue, you can always change your mind with information that you were given, but to debate to us is counterproductive for what we're trying to achieve. Our biggest job is to bring information to you, provide information to you so that you will be aware of some of the things that are going on around us as it relates to prophecy. giving you an opportunity to weigh the information and lean the information up against the scriptures to see the timeline that we may be in now as the people. In Christianity, we have been made to believe that other people were the Jews and that the Jews were already in their land. So when you come into the knowledge of who you are and you realize that the Jews are not in their land, and there are multiple scriptures to let you know that the Jews are not in their land, that they're in captivity all over the world, you understand that at some point you have to back the timeline up and instill the appropriate information so that the prophecy will be accurate to what we believe. So this is what our show is all about. We're putting together a think tank where we're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia this year. We're going to sit down at the round table, and we're going to discuss some of these things. And I am I'm still waiting on Brother Adonijah to come on the line. Sister Malka, if you're on the line, if you could please call Brother Adonijah and let him know that our show has started. I'm not quite sure what's going on. He may be asleep. We don't really know, but I know that a lot of people forgot to set their clocks. So we're going to go ahead with the show, and we just want everyone to know what's going on. You know, like I said, we've passed out a lot of information to people to understand what is happening. The Nation of Yehuda is on the move. We are setting up our own security detail. We're in the process of putting together our own security company that will be able to offer security not only for us, but for any constituent within our group of people that would need security detail. So we are putting that together at this point. We are making sure that we cross all of our T's and dot all of our I's. And we are also putting together our board of directors, which we are in the process of doing now, and we're bringing a lot of young people on board. Like I said, we did receive a donation from someone in Brooklyn, which was great. We want to say Todayah, hallelujah, thank you for what you've done. If you would like to donate anything to the Nation of Yehuda, we do have a PayPal account. And the email address for you to make the donation is nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. And Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. If you can go on PayPal and make that donation through the PayPal, we would really appreciate all the help we can get. So I am still waiting on my co-host. I'm not quite sure what is going on with him. But I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about something that happened this week. I don't know whether you guys are aware of it, but there was an airplane that came up missing in Malaysia. No one really knows what happened. No one really knows where the plane is. The last time I heard, there was 239 people missing, and they're trying to figure out exactly what happened to the actual people on the plane. So I want you to listen to this, and while in the meantime, we'll be waiting for my co-host to come on the show, and we will go from there. All right, here we go. Let's see what we're going to do with this one. Here we go.
An update of what we know so far this hour concerning the Malaysian Airlines flight is MH270. Let me just confirm that that is the correct number of that, 370. We have to get that right. MH370. There are 239 people on board, 227 are passengers. It was bound for Beijing, lost contact with air traffic control after it left Malaysia's capital, Kuala Lumpur. Malaysian Airlines is not giving very much information at all. It has said that the flight disappeared at 18:40 GMT on Friday. That's 2:40 a.m. local time. It's a Boeing 777-200. It took off from Kuala Lumpur. It had been due to arrive in Beijing at 22:30 GMT on Friday. That's 6:30 a.m. local time in the Chinese capital. 227 passengers, two of them infants, and also 12 crew members on board. Malaysia Airlines currently working with the authorities who have activated their search and rescue teams to locate the aircraft. There is a bit of information from China's Xinhua News Agency, which reports that it's believed radar contact with the plane was lost over Vietnam airspace. Xinhua also saying the plane did not enter Chinese airspace and did not make contact with Chinese air traffic controllers. I can also tell you that the chief executive of Malaysian Airlines Group, Ahmad Johari Yahya, has issued a statement. This came out just about an hour ago. Our thoughts and prayers, he says, are with all affected passengers and crew and their family members. He says the focus of the airline is to work with the emergency responders and that our team is currently calling the next of kin of passengers and crew. And that is all that we know at the moment. You have all the information that we have as well about MH370, the plane that has gone missing. And as soon as we get more, we'll, of course, bring it to you.
All right. I just wanted to touch base with you. Those are some of the things that are going on this week. We don't really have a whole lot of information on that other than what you've heard. I mean, you know, they don't know where the plane is. I mean, that's enough right there to talk about for hours and hours and hours and hours. It's almost the experience of the Bermuda Triangle. You know, as we deal in the Word and we understand exactly what's going on in the Scriptures, and then when we start to understand historical information about the different zones in the earth, different locations in the earth that yield very strong magnetic fields, and they've had disappearance of people and animals. Cows have actually been mutilated with precision surgical application, and they can't figure out what happened. They've actually had cows and animals where all of the blood has been drained, and there is no point of contact on the body. They've also had situations where the organs of these animals have become missing, and they can't figure out who did it or how they got it out of them. So there are a whole lot of things that are going on the earth right now, and one of the portals that we know of for sure on the earth is the Bermuda Triangle. There's reports after reports where people have come up missing. So no one really knows where these people are or what has happened to these people. The whole plane disappeared. This has also happened with the Bermuda Triangle. You know, planes disappeared, boats disappeared. And I remember doing a research study where a plane had disappeared, and then they sent jets out to try to find the plane that disappeared, and the jet came up missing. I mean, the fighter jet came up missing. It disappeared. So there are a lot of things that are going on right now on the earth that leads us to believe that we are in a very serious time. The prophecies are unfolding right before our eyes, and we have to maintain a level of continuity where we understand what's going on. So that is why we have put this whole thing together, so that we can give everyone the information that they need so that we can do the things that we need to do and prepare the way we need to prepare. So I'm going to play one more clip for you so we can listen to some other things that are going on while we wait for our co-host to come on the line.
Once again, this is something we may disagree about. All right, here it begins. Look, the mainstream media distorted what I had to say about 9/11. All I said was the hijackers were trained at bases in Saudi Arabia. They were allowed in, even though they were on the terrorist list. There was a clear, from my research, NORAD stand down.
There was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Building 7, which I'm going to show you a video of here in a moment, fell in its own footprint. They said they're bringing down Building 7. I have cops saying it, so it doesn't hurt other buildings. Why not just be honest about it? I'm not saying George Bush and Cheney had plungers, you know, in there. I'm saying elements in different groups, clearly, just like they're using al-Qaeda against Syria right now, just like it came out about the Olympics. I'm sure you've seen that Oscar-winning documentary narrated by Michael Douglas, where they later admit at the end of the movie that, oh, but basically the Germans were working with the terrorists and basically let them attack as a pretext to get more funding at the Olympics back in the 70s. All I'm saying is if Gulf of Tonkin was staged, If Cy Hirsch says that the Bin Laden raid is 100% fake, and there's huge evidence, and I talked to Navy SEALs' families who said that their sons said it was not real, they were going to kill some body double of Bin Laden. I mean, when a government's been caught lying this much, I'm not saying I know all the answers, and I know it's abhorrent and sounds horrible. I don't want to believe it either. All I'm saying is we need to investigate all of these events and not just buy what government says at face value.
Well, I guess the last sentence, don't buy what government says at face value, of course. I mean, absolutely, and I think we have a right to know much more than we do know about everything that government does. By the way, I'd also say I'm deeply skeptical of what large organizations do, not just government. I think bureaucracy creates corruption and deception by its nature, and I'm very skeptical of the claims made by any big organization, any big organization. I just don't think that, A, you are taking into account the profound incompetence of bureaucracies. Like, a lot of things we think are part of the conspiracy are just, like, dumb moves that are made accidentally. And, B, I think that if there was a mass conspiracy to kill Americans on the part of the U.S. government, that would require so many people's involvement that at least one of them would have come forward, and nobody has. So I just don't see – I see a lot of questions. I don't see any evidence of a U.S. conspiracy.
Sybil Edmonds was an FBI translator, and she was working up until 9/11. She said she heard elements of the CIA communicating with al-Qaeda up until 9/11.
I'm not the only one who knows about this. Too many people know about this. The fraudulent 9/11 commissioners, every single one of them knows about my case and the details and the names and all the specifics. Several people within the United States Congress do know. Everybody in the FBI involved, they know. Everyone in Department of Justice, they know.
Colonel Schaefer, who I know you know, he contributes on Fox, he said they could have killed Bin Laden twice in the month before,
yes,
ordered not to. So I'm saying bare minimum, they want al-Qaeda running around out there because it's a way to take our liberties here at home. Who can deny that they've used 9/11 to take a lot of liberties and now say, oh, our main mission isn't al-Qaeda, it's the Tea Party, it's gun owners, it's returning veterans?
I don't think there's any question that crises are used by those in power always and everywhere from the beginning of time till present to increase their power, for sure. Either intentionally or unwittingly. I think a lot of these people have, you know, clean intentions, but that's just the nature of power. It concentrates more power to itself, of course. I just don't believe that anybody at high levels of the U.S. government in 2001 allowed 9/11 on purpose. I don't.
All right. We're going to see what we say about that. I think we finally got my co-host on the line. Let's get him on the line real quick. Brother Adonia, are you there?
Shalom. How you doing? My mind ain't there all the time. I forgot.
I figured. I said, I hope he set his clock forward. Oh, my goodness. Yep, I figured that you did. That's why I wanted to give you a call and give you a chance to get on here. And we talked about some things before you got on the line. We talked about the missing airlines in Malaysia that took off, that they don't know where the people are. They can't find the airplane. It's just gone.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I heard about that. I heard about that this morning, matter of fact. And, that was hijacked. What happened was I think that they had hijacked that plane, didn't they?
No, it disappeared. It ain't hijacked. It's gone.
Oh, yeah?
Now, unless someone else is on something different, that plane is gone. They said it just disappeared. So I don't know. That's the last thing I heard about it. But we're dealing with, like I told him, I have invited some pastors on the line today, some very good friends of mine I ran into the other day, and I invited them on the line. I was at a funeral yesterday and invited a couple people to come on the line. So we're looking for a very exciting show. I explained to them who we are and what we do and how.
Hello? Hello? Oh, shoot.
We here. Did you guys hear that? The Democratic Party and the Republican Party are relaxing the immigration laws so that they can bring down the American wages. I think we got Brother Donia back. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can. I think my call got dropped for some reason. I don't know. You know, they messing
with... I was saying, did you hear that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are relaxing the immigration law so that they can bring down the salaries of the American people?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of insanity going on, man. They throwing spaghetti against the wall in order to keep this society going. They trying everything under the sun. You understand what I'm saying? They throwing spaghetti against the wall to find out what sticks and what's going to help. You understand? This place is going down, and it's going to go down, and it's going down faster and faster. You understand? There's a lot of stuff going on in this society. You understand? Things that we never expected to happen. Like I had mentioned years ago, is that how are they going to keep paying all these folks? You understand? You know, and all of a sudden now they can't even find a way. You understand? They have to cut everybody. You understand? You know, it's a real mess here, you know. And we can sit back and not do anything, you understand, and perish along with the society, or we can do something to try to do something for our own destiny. That's our only job. We can't do anything else but try to work on us. Hello.
That's right. That's right. And let me make the announcement real quick because I want to let you guys know I am on a cell phone and my calls have been dropping all day. So if we're in the middle of a session and you hear dead time, please do not hang up. I will just have to reconnect back into the show. You're absolutely right. There is a lot of things going on right now. The whole world is in an uproar. But, you know, y'all had to make that happen because it's almost time for us to get up out of here. And this country was only given a 400-year timeline. And depending on how you calculate the time, the 400-year prophecy for us is almost up. I know a whole lot of people don't believe in those things. Some of the Hebrews don't even believe that the 400-year prophecy is still in existence. But the immigration laws are being relaxed on purpose so that they can bring more people into the country so that they do not have to pay the American people as much money as they have had to in the past. I'm going to prove that by this next session. This is Congress actually in session talking about this very thing. Here we go.
The CBO report is explicit. Under this legislation, if it were to pass, the wages of American workers will fall for the next 12 years. They will be lower than inflation rate. They will decline from the present unacceptably low rate, continue to decline for 12 years. According to this report, that alone should cause us to defeat this bill. We've been told it's going to create prosperity and growth, but what it's going to produce is more unemployment, as this report explicitly states. It's going to produce lower wages for Americans, as this report explicitly states, and it's going to increase the deficit. So I think we need to have an understanding here that something very serious is afoot. I'll just read some of the things that are in it. Quote, I'm on page 7 of the economic impact of S-744. Quote, S-744 would allow significantly more workers with low skills and with high skills to enter the United States. Taking into account all those flows of new immigrants, CBO and the joint tax expect that a greater number of immigrants with lower skills than with higher skills will be added to the workforce. In other words, of the group coming in, more will be lower skilled than high skilled, just as I have indicated and other commentators have indicated previously. Going on to say this, quotes, slightly pushing down the average wage of the labor force as a whole. But they go on to say this, get this, the next sentence. However, CBO and Joint Tax expect that currently unauthorized workers, illegal workers, in other words, who obtain legal status under 744, will see an increase in their wages. He goes on to say this, dramatically, I suggest. The average wage would be lower than under current law over the first dozen years.
Mm.
And it says, CBO estimates that it would increase unemployment for at least 7 years.
Mm.
So this is supposed to be good for the people we represent. And, of course, I would like to ask, again, our colleagues to think carefully about our duty here, who it is we represent in this body, and what kind of responsibilities we have to decent, hardworking Americans who experts have told us have seen their wages decline every year virtually since 1999. So this will add to the problem, what this report says, quite clearly, unequivocally. It's going to increase unemployment, and it's going to pull down wages. That is exactly the wrong thing that ought to be happening at this time. How in the world can we justify passing a bill that hammers the American working man and woman who's out trying to feed a family, get a job, that has a little retirement, a little health care, some money to be able to take care of the family, and hammer them with additional adverse economic impact? I suggest to you this is not a report that in any way justifies advancing this legislation.
All right. What do you say? Did you hear that? Did you hear what they're doing?
I hear
this
what they crucial. And they, you know, they so crazy. If it wasn't that the Almighty was orchestrating this, it's a simple process to get out of this mess. They could turn back some of that money that they got in them offshore accounts to accommodate the losses that they're getting, so that they could make it so that they could give a person a decent wage. That would be simple. But the Almighty's hand is in this. That's why they can't do nothing.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's just powerful how you watch it crumble, right? You know, because I always used to wonder what happened to Babylon. I mean, because Babylon was a great nation. It was a one-world government at one time. When you deal with the book of Daniel and you deal with the second chapter of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, you know, had the dream and he saw the giant statue and the Most High through Daniel interpreted the one world governments that were going to be in place until he came back. And Babylon, they said it was as much gold as it was dust.
That is correct.
So it was such an illustrious empire. And today, it is gone. I mean, it's been dwindled down to Iraq, okay? And when you think about that, something significant had to happen. It was no more than the Most High speaking that it was over. And that's the most powerful thing about his word. When he speaks that it's over, and it's nothing nobody can do about it. And I'm watching it right before my eyes, the country that I was born in, the country that I thought at one time was my country. I'm watching it crumble right before our eyes, that they are deliberately doing things to bring it to a certain level, to the point where they're bringing in more immigrants to break down the American people's salaries so they're not making enough, and increase inflation, unemployment, so that the immigrants who are illegal will once they become legal, they'll make more money than they're making now, but they're going to level off everybody's salary where nobody's making. They're going to put a ceiling on the salary. So what happens to all of these people who have spent all these thousands of dollars for education? And he had remember we showed that clip where, and I'm going to play that again for you guys too, where the Department of Education used the local police to break into this man's house, to invade his house because they were late on their student loan payments. I mean, all of these things are happening and nobody's paying attention.
And it's like, what is it going to take? I mean, how far does it have to go? Because guess what? The more people they have, the less money they're going to have for social service programs. Do you agree, Brother Donia?
I agree. And one more thing is that these people are so greedy, they would rather cut the salaries than cut their own money. You understand? They are so greedy, you understand, that they don't care what happens to anybody. They don't care about their own folks. And so for sure, they don't care about us. You understand? And so, we got to take our destiny in our own hands. We got to realize, see what's going on, and start moving in a direction where, try to figure out how we can sustain our living. You understand? Because our children is at stake here. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't do nothing, then they go into a position where they have nothing that they could do. Right now, we got something that we can do. We could try to put together industries on our own for our own folks, even if it ain't nothing but bartering back and forth. We need to do something about our own destiny. Otherwise, man, it shouldn't come as no shock when you don't have nothing to eat. Hallelujah.
That's right. And it's coming. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people that have come on board. And I want to give you an update. Let us know who you will. We're going to let you know who we are. This is the Yehuda Project. We are, we were the African American people of the Americas, of the states, of the United States of America. We have now come to know that we are the Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. We have come out of Christianity, out of Islam, out of Buddhism. We've come out of all of the mainstream religions. We do believe in the Bible. We believe in the scriptures. We have some that believe only Torah. We have some that believe in only the Old Testament. We have some that believe in the whole book. We are a nation of people. We are building the nation of Yehuda, the United Nation of Israel. We are building these entities so that as a nation of people, we will have solutions. We invite everyone to be on the show, Christians, Muslims, all of our people from all walks of life. We are scattered all over the world. We know that our ancestors from the transatlantic slave trade were the Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. According to scripture, to prove that, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 16 to 68, and it outlines who the Hebrew Israelites are, and those criteria definitely match us as a people. This show is designed to get our people motivated so we can start coming back together as a nation, so we will be able to feed ourselves as a nation. Some of us believe the 400-year prophecy has not been fulfilled, and the way it's looking, this place is starting to go down, and it is critical. The things that are happening right now, I'm going to play a lot of different clips today to bring everybody up to speed. We found out through Obamacare, which we can prove, that the RFID chip is a part of Obamacare. They will be putting it, implanting it in your hand. And this is going to be significant because it is going to hold your financial data, your medical history, all of this. They have a mandatory date that all of Americans will be chipped. Everyone that's listening, we're trying to get some information out there to you, so that you can know. We will tell you where to go look it up so you can see it for yourself. These are the things. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, please push 1. We'd love to hear from you. But as to reiterate, the Senate and the Congress has passed a bill to allow immigrants to come into the country, and they are going to do this so that they can level off the salaries of everyone. They are going to bring down the salaries of the American people, and everyone's salary will be leveled off. It is going to increase unemployment. This is not going to get any better, people. I want to play this again one more time. It's only 4 minutes long, and I want you to listen to what he has to say, and then we're going to move on. Here we go.
The CBAO report is explicit. Under this legislation, if it were to pass, the wages of American workers will fall for the next 12 years. They will be lower than inflation rate. They will decline from the present unacceptably low rate continued to decline for 12 years, according to this report. That alone should cause us to defeat this bill. We've been told it's going to create prosperity and growth, but what it's going to produce is more unemployment, as this report explicitly states. It's going to produce lower wages for Americans, as this report explicitly states, and it's going to increase the deficit. So I think we need to have an understanding here that something very serious is afoot. I'll just read some of the things that are in it. Quote, I'm on page 7 of the economic impact of S-744. Quote, S-744 would allow significantly more workers with low skills and with high skills to enter the United States. Taking into account all those flows of new immigrants, CBO and the joint tax expect that a greater number of immigrants with lower skills than with higher skills will be added to the workforce. In other words, of the group coming in, more will be lower skilled than high skilled, just as I have indicated and other commentators have indicated previously. Going on to say this, quote, slightly pushing down the average wage of the labor force as a whole. But they go on to say this, get this, the next sentence. However, CBO and joint tax expect that currently unauthorized workers, illegal workers, in other words, who obtain legal status under 744 will see an increase in their wages.
All right, what do y'all say about that, Brother Donia? Can you give them some encouraging words or something?
Unfortunately, I cannot. Only encouraging thing that I could say is that it's up to us now, you understand, to start taking our destiny in our own hands. That should be encouraging. Now we know what we can get out of from those folks. Nothing. Because as this place goes down, they keep pushing us further and further in the back. They going to bring in some illegal aliens, you understand, to work in for less money, you understand, and they going to cut the unemployment for those that been in the society and worked faithfully, and we work faithfully, you understand? And so we getting cut and pushed further and further behind, you understand? So our only alternative is start doing something for ourselves, you understand? Set up industries for our own selves. Make sure that we can eat when all of this stuff comes down, because it's coming down, you understand? So I suggest that we... do what you said, come to this think tank and try to figure out how and use a strategy so that we can continuously to live, because our children is at stake. We don't do nothing for them, man. We don't have no future. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now we're going to play something about the student loans. We're going to reiterate some of the things that we've been telling people all along that is starting to happen now. We're not going to have enough money with it. Man, this is getting real serious right here. Hold on a minute. Here we go. I'm going to play this for you so you'll know.
Now to a News 10 exclusive. A Stockton man wants an apology tonight for a wake-up call he should have never received. It is a story you'll only see on News 10. Lee Painter tells us why police and federal agents knocked down his door.
This is what they did to my door.
At 6 this morning, a SWAT team surprised Kenneth Wright at his front door.
In my underwear. Before I get to the door, I hear him say, hit it. And I get ready to hit the door, and they hit the door. They almost hit me. So I said, hold on. They hit it again. I said, hold on.
But the SWAT team busted in, taking Wright.
They come grab me by my neck and drag me out my house to right there in the grass.
Thrown to the ground and handcuffed, law enforcement then searched his house.
And they put me in the backseat of a police car for over 6 hours, from 6 o'clock to 12:30. They had me handcuffed in the back of a police car with nothing on but my ripped-up underwear that they ripped in the yard.
Wright says they also woke his 3 children, holding them for 2 hours. But they failed to find their quarry, Wright's estranged wife. Wright later complained to Stockton's mayor and police, but the city pointed to the U.S. Department of Education.
They say you owe a student loan, and you got to pay it. I just had my door kicked in because of this.
With the help of the Stockton Police Department, News 10 was able to contact one of the federal agents who was at the search this morning, who gave us a Washington, D.C. number for the Office of the Inspector General, who confirmed it was the Department of Education who conducted the search, but they can't discuss anything in the case until it's closed. Not even if it's policy to break in and handcuff people who default on student loans.
They put this here and they said, we fixed the hole. The hole is the least of my worries.
Wright says all he wants is an apology and a new door, and he has this warning to former students that the federal government's coming to collect in a big way.
People that have student loans out there are people that owe money. Please pay your bills. Take care of your credit. If you don't believe me, this could be you one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
In Stockton, Lee Painter, News 10.
Well, Stockton police say federal agents requested one patrol car for the search. They reiterated that they did not kick in Wright's door or handcuff him and said that he and his children were never held.
Wow. You should see this young man's door. And I'm telling you all, these are all YouTube clips. If you would like to have a copy of these clips, we will more than happy send them to you. Email us at the Yehuda Project. Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H project at gmail.com. We have all this information on you. It's online. The reason why I invited my pastor friends on today, because it's time for the church to wake up. It's time to get our people ready, because the outcome that they have given us to believe in is not going to happen the way we think it's going to happen, and they are getting ready to close ranks, and the people need to realize just how far ahead of the game this is, and we're here to give you that information. Brother Donnell, what do you have to say about that one?
Well, you know, it's so ironic, man. They take away the jobs, send the jobs out of the country, put us on these government facilities and expect us to pay the little schooling that they give us, because they ain't giving us the full understanding, and then they want to demand the money back when we don't have no job, no income coming in. You understand? So these people are the cruelest people on the face of the earth. And the Almighty is not going to let them get away with it. Right now, you understand, we got to go through this here. But there's an alternative for us. Like I said, if we get together, we're stronger in number. You understand? And the power that we have is the Almighty. He's not going to let nothing happen to us if we gather ourselves and show him that we are ready and willing to commit to his understanding. You understand? Other than that, man, we can sit back here, man, and kiss our hiney goodbye if we don't do nothing. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. I agree with you. They're not making it easy for us, and the more and more we don't pay attention, the more and more our liberties are being stripped from us. And we have got to wake up. I mean, this thing, it is late in the hour. I mean, it's so late in the hour that it sends chills through me to understand that this thing, Daniel, is unfolding right in front of our eyes. It is unfolding right in front of our eyes. I mean, to see that, you know, like you said, it's a last-ditch attempt to hold on to a nation that was only given 400 years. 400 years. All, matter of fact, not just our nation, all of the nations that house our people were only given 400 years. And after that 400 years, judgment was going to reign. And that's why we got so many wars and stuff going. They're fighting all over the world. All over the world they're fighting.
Yep, it says in the scriptures that it's going to be wars and rumors of wars. You understand? So everything that the Almighty has said is coming to pass. He does not say something out of his mouth and doesn't make it happen. You understand? And he said that he was going to bring us back into the land of the flowing with milk and honey. We can't go back into that land because right now is because they got them folks over there talking about they us. You understand? But the Almighty is straightening out that too. You understand? He's going to chase them folks up out of there, and when we go back in there, we're going to have housing already set up. You understand? So it's a lot of stuff here, and I know that people don't believe it, man. And but here's the thing that I try to explain to everybody. Whether you believe it or not, let's make an effort to try to do something for our own children. That's what we got to think about. You understand? All right.
Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go back to some of the, because this is a current events day. It's a lot of things happening, and I want you to listen to this, because this is another thing that's unfolding. And then we're going to deal with the Ukraine issue, because that's real serious. I mean, you know, Vladimir Putin, man, Putin does not play. I mean, for real, hold on, here we go. I'm not even going to go there. Here we go.
The conspiracy is a real one, and it's out in the open.
Sure. All I know is that the dean of the Defense Language School, Colonel Butler, went public to AP and said, three of these guys were in my classes. The guys that are on the news were in my classes. Something's going on. James Woods on the plane 2 weeks before. They're acting like they're hijacking, and he tells the FBI nothing's done.
I was on a flight without going into the details of what made me suspicious of these four men, although it would have been blatantly obvious to the most casual observer. I took it upon myself to go to the flight attendant and ask to speak to the pilot of the plane. The first officer came out. I reported to him that I felt that the four men, and I said, can you look over my shoulder and see who I'm talking about? And he said, yeah. I said, I think they're going to hijack this plane. I mean, everything they're doing, and I explained to him these details, which I've been asked to keep private until whatever jurisdiction, you know, whatever trials may take place. Their behavior was such that I felt they were going to hijack the plane. Since then, I have identified for sure two of them as two of the terrorists, who actually were not on Flight 11, but one was on Flight 175 and one was on Flight 77. And I've been told unofficially, not by the FBI, but by someone else in actually a higher level of government, believe it or not, just through a coincidence, through a mutual friend, that all four of them were terrorists involved.
Something was going on. And I know they had Israeli and Saudi intelligence, British intelligence following them, German intelligence.
Right.
And that all came out. The point is, this was clearly some giant multi-nation spy war game. Who knows exactly what it was? I'm just saying the stonewalling of there's nothing going on here, don't look at it. Take six of the 10 9/11 commissioners say that we were lied to and didn't get the official story, but then it's national security. All I'm saying is it should be looked at a lot deeper, because it was the Hart-Rubin Commission, Gary Hart, that said we're going to use this disaster for a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that anytime you have a crisis like that, people use it to their own ends. But I also think that, you know, a lot of this is just inevitable. I know a lot of people who work in national security, and while I disagree with them profoundly on a lot of things, most of them are like decent Americans.
No, I agree, but they're compartmentalized. Let me just show you finally. Have you seen Building 7 collapse, the Solomon Brothers building?
No.
I want to show you that right now.
Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that.
Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
Amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
I was talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing, and indeed it has. We'll probably find out more now about that from our correspondent, Jane Stanley. Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
Well, only really what you already know. Did you tell
was this after the collapse of the other two?
Yes, so she's saying it's fallen. Building 7.
Yes, York skyline, by the mayor, Rudy Giuliani, much earlier today because of, course, the dreadful collapse of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. But New York's very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly.
They announced Building 7 fell 25 minutes before it did, and then lied. This wasn't real, and later admitted it. No, we have the close footage of CNN. Police saying, get back, they're going to bring it down.
Bye, guys. We're on the as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaking
almost like a precision implosion.
Many listeners of those pictures, we've all seen too much on television before. The building was deliberately destroyed by World Trade
Center.
We started walking down the stairs and went to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Now it's back into the 8th floor.
When the Office of Emergency Management did an activation, they always included our locale. I received the call shortly after the first plane hit. I got there, I had to be inside on the 23rd floor when the second plane hit. Upon arriving into the OEM EOC, we noticed that everybody was gone. I saw coffee that was on the desk, still coming up for coffee. I saw half-eaten sandwiches. I'm just confused about one thing. And one thing only, why World Trade Center 7 went down in the first place. I'm very confused about that. I know what I heard. I heard explosions. The explanation I got was it was the fuel oil tank. I'm an old boiler guy. If it was a fuel oil tank, it would have been one side of the building.
I remember getting a call from the...
All right. You guys still there? I want to give you some information. That man... His name was Barry Jennings, and he was the emergency coordinator for whatever that area was, what is that called, where they had the 9/11. And he went in. Well, he gave that interview, and then mysteriously he's dead. Let me, I want to get, woo, hold on one moment, please. Here we go.
He witnessed the WTC-7 explosions. Dead at age 53. Emergency coordinator, the 9/11 witness, Barry Jennings, has passed away with controversy about WTC-7 still hot, as the BBC hit piece and this report have been released to counter Jennings' exclusive testimony on explosions inside Building 7. Now, we interviewed him for Loose Change, Final Cut. He then, word got out about it. He begged us, saying he'd been threatened, saying his pension had been threatened, his job had been threatened, and other threats, wouldn't specify what those were, and he didn't shut up. Then he didn't really recant. He said, yeah, there were explosions, yeah, before the towers fell in Building 7, and he said, well, it could have been bodies, but earlier he said they were bodies on the ground. Then his boss just came out in the last few weeks and was interviewed by the BBC saying, I never saw explosions, though he had said that on news that day along with Mr. Jennings. Very suspicious that he's dead at 53. Now, it was Aaron Dykes who confirmed this yesterday. We kept hearing about it for weeks. We could find no news articles. We earlier, and others had called where he worked with the city. They said, no, we're not going to talk about it. We finally got them to admit yesterday that he indeed was dead, but they wouldn't say the cause. We've now talked to his bosses. They've said, yeah, we knew Barry. He is dead. We can't say why he's dead. Others said at the office, we don't know why he's dead, and acted very, very suspicious.
All right, Ty, what do you say about that? Woo! Brother Donnie, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I put it on mute, you understand, when I'm not talking. But these people are the cruelest people and murderous people that ever lived on the face of the earth. And if you speak out too hard, they come in and get you. You understand? And that's why I was kind of worried about you when you told me that the police came to your door. I know that these guys are horrible and murderous, man. Look at the movies that they make, you understand? They make all of these murderous movies, you understand? Every movie that you can see that's put out on screen today has got some murder in it. Yeah. So these guys right here they don't care nothing about no life. You understand? Anything that's going to step on them, getting all the money and all the land, you know, they talk about running the whole world. They want to run the whole world. They got embassies in every place on earth. You understand? You're American in the embassies. And as soon as one of them guys try to put an embassy on American soil, they want to they push back on that. So, you know, these guys are just so cruel, man, and harmful. But the Almighty is greater than them. He going to straighten it all out. They don't get away. You don't get away when you're dealing with the Creator. You understand? And he's going to make them pay. You understand? Their time is up. You understand? They got a few more years left. You understand? And they scratching, trying to get it together. You see, a lot of them folks... You understand, is building all these underground safe houses and moving out of the country and putting their money in offshore accounts. That's not going to work. They'll never get a chance to spend it. Or when they do move into those underground huts, they're going to be buried in them. You understand? So they contributing to their own demise. It's just a matter of time. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And let me make an announcement because we've had a lot of people to join us. We'd like to say welcome to the Yehuda Project. This is Yaina Yisrael and Brother Adonai. And we were the African-American people. Now we know ourselves to be the Hebrew Israelites of the Scriptures, and we can prove it. For all of you all that are new on the line, if you have a Bible next to you, please go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We encourage you to read verses from 1 to 15. It says, if you obey me, these are the things that you will, these are the things I will give you. From 16 down to 68, he says, if you do not obey me, this is what will happen to you and your children. So as you begin to go down from 16 all the way down to 68, it talks about us being called niggers. It talks about us being transported by ships. It talks about us being, our children being sold on the auction block. It talks about how the young men are not going to regard the old women, the old people. It talks about how the women are going to change their demeanor and not like their men, and how the men are going to walk away from their children. It talks about how we're going to be scattered all over the world, and that they're going to sell our daughters for wine and our sons for a harlot and our daughters for wine. There would be nothing we would be able to do. It talks about us building a land that doesn't belong to us, that we really won't reap the benefits from. So the reason why we're having this show today is because I have invited some very powerful people from all walks of life to join us on this show, because we need your help. We have got to get to the church. We have got to get to the streets. We have got to get to the person that has been assimilated so into this country that they believe that this is all there is. Every country that houses us, from Brazil, they said Brazil has the largest population of our people, to Cuba, to America, to the Caribbeans. We are all over the world scattered. The Most High said, I've scattered you from one end of the earth to the other. Every land that has our people scattered, they're impoverished. They're in poverty. And the Most High has prophesied that we would be this way. But what we do have a promise coming, that he is gathering us. As a people, he is going to bring us out of captivity. And if you want to know about that, read Ezekiel chapter 39. It goes into detail as to what he's going to do. Joel, the book of Joel chapter 3, how he's going to gather his people from all of the four corners of the earth. Now, society would have you to believe that the Jews are already in the land. 1948, they took a boat ride. They was on top of the boat, riding and sailing into Jerusalem so that they could be noticed as the children of Israel. That is not true, and I can prove that too. Read Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Read Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. He says, I know your poverty. I know who you are. I know your difficulties. He said, but I also know them who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So we want everybody on this radio show to know that the reason why we're doing this and the reason why we have this show going is so that we can encourage our people to start preparing themselves for what is coming upon us as a nation. We are suffering. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. I don't care how much baptism you got. I don't care nothing about all those things because we know that we're all suffering together. We're the last to be hired and the first to be fired. We are the ones that hold the diseases. It talks about that too. So we're trying to get everybody together so that they can understand that we've got to come together as a nation and begin to educate our people. Are we coming to dethrone anyone? Absolutely not. The ones that are in place as the Jews are supposed to be there. And we're supposed to be who we are, but we've been mandated. And what was the mandate, Brother Adonia? We're supposed to do what? Gather ourselves what? To gather ourselves together, O nation undesired. So we have a mandate to be able to do this. So this is the reason why we have this show. We're connecting with powerful leaders that we feel are powerful around the country. They're calling in from all over the country. We have them here from Sweden. We have them here from Japan. We have them here from Brazil. We have them here from the United Kingdom. We have everybody here from all walks of life that are on this show. And if you want to make a comment or a question, please feel free to push 1. We will answer it to the best of our ability, and we're going to go from here. Brother Donnie, are you there? He must put his phone
on. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I put myself on mute. You understand? Yeah, the Almighty is tremendous. You understand? And see, he's bringing us back gradually. You understand? We're coming back. And he'll give us the time that we need to gather ourselves. But we just can't waste no time. You understand? We can't just go and just put our heads in the sand and then come up with somebody else after somebody else has put it together. And now you want to come up and bring yourself to the table. You understand? And you want to change things. You understand? To fit your agenda. But see, we need you at the table today so that we can put this all together. We need you to come on board and try to make so that we can start taking care of our own. We can no longer depend on these folks. You understand? When the stuff really hits the fan, we can't look for them for no help because they're going to be trying to help themselves. You understand? So we need to try to do something for our own. You understand? This is not no science project going awry. This is real life here. You understand? Our children are at stake. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I want you to hear something else because we're going to deal with the chip. We're going to deal with the Obamacare. We're going to deal with the RFID chip so that you understand what's going on. This information is out there, but nobody's paying attention. Everybody else is going along. Television either has your mind. Dancing with the Stars has your mind. Shouting has your mind. It's time to clear your mind because we got to start paying attention. We are at a critical time here. We have got to start coming together so we can go before the Most High as a nation and begin to repent for the things that we've done so that he can turn the captivity and that we will be allowed to leave here. We have a specific time we were brought, and there's a specific time that we will leave, and we're going to go through that. So I want you to hear this real quick, and it's going to be real short, but we're going to go through it. We have a lot of people that have joined the call at 4:30, and I'm sure that these are the people who forgot to set their clock back. So let me go in here, and we're going to play this real quick. Here we go.
Become God. Now, the media picks that up and says, Alex Jones says the elite are going to become God. No, that's not what I say in the Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. That's not what I say on the show. The elite, and I skip sources, where they say they believe they're going to merge with machines, that is the new evolutionary jump that's going to happen, and they're going to set up their planetary system and basically get rid of the population before we ever even get to that point. Now, whether they're going to carry that out or not, I don't know. But they've already been carrying out the precursors to it. And so, yeah, that's a scary thing, but it's real. And that's what we're facing as a society. Catherine, if you're just joining us, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, researcher, author into these subjects, from your research, what makes the globalists tick? What type of world are they trying to build? I mean, Google says they want to own the Internet. They want to have over-the-horizon predictive powers with the computers to be able to tell mass events before they take place. It's a surveillance system where they can tell where mass movements are going to be able to head them off. But it's still humans at the end of the day that are in control of this, and humans that are willing to dominate and break laws. And so we have incredible power in the hands of very sadistic, wicked people. I mean, the final equation from your research, what is the New World Order? What is their end game? And what are some of the other cutting-edge developments that you're watching?
You know, you really pegged it, because we all know the old phrase, knowledge is power. And this is about power. We also know Lord Acton's phrase, power corrupts absolutely. And what we're now coming to a point, and you ask what drives these people, I think it is an unbridled lust for the ultimate form of power, which is the ability to decide who lives and who dies, the ability to decide who can procreate or who can live forever, the ability to decide which trees fall in which forest or where a frog jumps or everything else. Because in my research, I mean, you've got the IBM planetary skin. You've got them putting sensors in oceans. You've got them putting sensors in forests, into trees. I ran across a document by a big international forestry organization that actually came up with some statistics to figure out what it would cost to put an RFID microchip spy chip in every single sapling, every single tree on planet Earth. You know, the planet is getting small enough now that they're actually envisioning the ability to identify every single last animal and microchip them all. So it's really, you know, what would inspire someone to want to do that? And the only thing that I can think that would inspire someone to want to do that is if they're kind of tapping into a darker desire, which gets us onto the spiritual realm, which is the desire to be completely and totally in control, like God. And, you know, you can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and, of course, the conversation that occurred there between Satan and Adam and Eve, that conversation, you know, the foundation of Western civilization, trace it all the way back to its beginning, and that conversation was all about power. You know, the knowledge of good and evil, you will become like gods. Take a bite out of this apple. And, by the way, let me point out that all you listeners out there who have Apple iPads and iPhones and laptop computers, you are carrying around the visual representation of that symbol all day long. You've got the apple with a bite out of it. That represents a deal that was struck when the offer was made. Hey, listen, I will make you like gods. You will have the power of God. And, of course, the reality is the only power from God is from God. You know, when God gives you power, that's real power. When God has power, that's real power. But when you get into this technological, twisted, dark stuff, it always, always, always comes with a price. And, in fact, we opened Spy Chips with a quote by C.P. Snow from the New York Times. This is back in the 1970s. And he said, technology is a queer gift. It gives you great gifts with one hand and stabs you in the back with the other. And I can think of no technology. I've been reading all these books about the Luddites and about the 1800s and the implementation of all these technologies and where they all got their start. And all of them have come with this huge downside. And ultimately, that downside is going to be the destruction of our entire planet. They will keep moving the bar, and that's what's happening. You keep moving the bar further and further out as to what's acceptable, what's tolerable, what we'll put up with. And this is one of the things that I said to Bob Unruh when he interviewed me from WorldNet Daily. He said, "Listen, they're not going to come one day with tanks and guns, and maybe they will, but believe me, it's not going to happen until people are really softened up for it, and say, hey, get a microchip. It's going to be little by little, and you're going to have, you know, kids 15, 18 years old going, cool, you mean if I have a microchip implant, then I can just ask questions and my Google goggles will just get..." You know, I talk about on my radio show a lot, Alex, that there's an 80% cutoff, that once you've got 80% of the population doing anything, fill in the blank, whatever it is, then you can force the other 20% to get on board. And I'm already seeing this with the toll transponders, those little things people put, the fast pass and easy pass things they put in their windshield to go through the tolls. I won't use one. I don't use one. I never will use one. I will take surface streets before I'll use one of those things, because that's an RFID-based spy chip tracking device in your car. However, now that they've got 80% of people on board in many communities around the country, now they're moving to make those mandatory, where you can't even pay cash. There's no option of paying cash. Same thing is true with all of these different technologies. Once 80% of people have smartphones, there's going to be a requirement, you know, just like a social security number. You can't get a job without one. So all the holdouts back in the 30s, 40s, 50s who said, oh, that's the mark of the beast, they all had to sign up, or they died off and then their kids signed up. Same thing is going to happen with the cashless society. Same thing is going to happen with near-field communication cell phone payments. And ultimately, they're pushing for that same thing to happen with the implants. So I would look for the implants. We were out there protesting. I did a prayer vigil and a march against the chipping of the Alzheimer's patients in Florida. If people want to go to antichips.com, they can see not only the photos of that event, but they can also see, it's like a 50-page document, an academic document that I wrote about those microchips causing cancer in laboratory animals. So there's also, a 100-page or 100-question FAQ, antichips.com. People can check it out and learn more about these implants. But, the whole move of these implants, there are a couple of stupid companies like the Verichip Corporation, with all its various names, that come out and say, oh, well, we want to sell this as a product. I don't think it's going to happen that way. People don't want an ID microchip. But if you turn around and instead say, you'll be able to listen to music and access Facebook and get your email through this little implant, you're going to have a stampede of people wanting to do it. Because I think a part of it, Alex, and I know you and I are doing all we can, but our generation and the folks that are listening to this show, we are not doing a very good job reaching out to young people and helping them understand why this stuff matters. And we are not Madison Avenue. They are getting their information from the schools, which is the government, 12,000 hours of seat time. Actually, it's 14,000 hours of seat time. So they've got the government doing all of this forming. They've got television, which is all the folks we were just talking about, giving you all this in advance and doing the behavioral placements. And then we've got Madison Avenue, which has a definite interest in our kids not caring about privacy because they know the more they know about us, the more they can get us to part with our money. And so all of these forces and all of these informational sources are promoting this stuff. And we, who in past eras, parents, grandparents, the people in your community, we are not having an influence on young people.
Well, there is no community. All there is television.
That's where I'm drawing the line because I know that that's going to be near-field communication. That is one step away from the implant. It's those phones, and they're already a privacy disaster. So what I take solace in, though, Alex, when I think about that, is I always think about what it says in the Bible.
All right. What do you say about that one right there? That's deep. Hold on, Brother Donny. I think we have our sister online from Israel. Let me see if she's online. We're going to get her on here. Mahalia, is that you?
I'm here.
Shalom. Everyone that's on the line, we have a lot of people, new guests that are on the line. We have one of our sisters that moved to Israel. She's actually from the United States, but she actually lives in the homeland. And she has graced us with her presence today, and we are so happy to have her on board and all of that good stuff. And how are you today?
I am excellent. Thank you so much, and happy to be here.
Wonderful. Brother Donia, what do you think about that, what she just said, how they're using television to influence our kids? And Sister Mahalia, we're going to leave your phone open. And anyone else that wants to make a comment or have a question or need some information, please don't hesitate to push one. We have a lot of people on this line, and we're probably going to end up going in overtime because a lot of people didn't turn their clocks forward today. So we understand, and we came prepared today. So, Brother Donia, what do you think about it?
What I think is that they set us up to put the chip in us. They made us think that, oh, it's a marvelous thing, you understand? You can get your email on it, you understand? You can access Facebook and a number of other things that was pleasing to the eye, you understand? So that when they start putting in that, putting chips in us, you understand, it won't be so difficult for them to be able to do that, you understand. And as far as talking against it, man, they ain't going. That don't mean nothing. We can say we don't want them chips if we want to. If we don't accept that their way of life, you understand, we're going into those internment camps. You understand, or they'll kill us on the spot. You understand, just like the pipeline coming from Canada. People is they brought up all kinds of reasons why they shouldn't do it, but they're gonna do it anyway. They already started doing. They're not gonna stop in the middle of the road. You understand, they're gonna continuously do it, and they don't care what you say. You understand? So these people are, but see, we got a creator second to none. You understand? And he's going to straighten it all out, and he's going to make it right for us. All we got to do is gather ourselves. We got to be thinking children first. You understand? Set something up for us. Because if we don't set nothing up for our children, you understand what I'm saying? They're going to have a difficult time trying to set something up from the concentration camp. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And for those of you all who don't know, there are concentration camps that they have built all over the United States. And they have thousands and thousands and thousands of caskets that are lined up. And they are prepared. They have a list that they have everyone on, and it's color-coded. So they have specialists for pastors and specialists for this and specialists for that. They have a specialist for everybody. And this is real. This is real talk. This is happening right now in real time. So our job is to get this information to you. And Sister Mahalia, how is it going over there in Israel? And what's going on with the situation with the Ukraine? Is that affecting anything over there where you are?
Everything here is basically peaceful and calm. I would say there's no major impact on anything that's going on over here right now. I would like to say one thing, though, pertaining to a lot of the reports that are coming in around the world of all of these, the impending doom that is upon us as a world. I would say that, like the brother Adonias said, we do have to prepare ourselves. But the greatest thing that we need to prepare ourselves for is our own minds. If we give way to the fear, you know, we as a people, we have went through the unimaginable. We have already been through that. We have seen world wars. We have seen Holocaust. We have seen the unimaginable and the unthinkable, you know, in New Orleans and the tsunamis and everything that is taking place. What we must not do is we must not give in to fear. Fear is what the powers that be wants us to engage ourselves in. And it's almost like a monster that breeds on the fear. We have to instill in ourselves a sense of purpose. We have to instill in ourselves a sense of preservation. You know, this world has been through a lot. This planet has been through a lot, but we've always come through. I don't think that our Creator has it in his plans for this world to end. You know, it has, what they say, ended several times, but it's never totally. You know, so those that do have that type of faith, the unshakable faith in our Creator and the ones that really want to do right, I think that they should continue with that faith and not give in to the fear. That doesn't mean that we should not prepare ourselves in any way, but we should not do so in a panic mode or in a fear mode. We just need to, as Brother Adonia said, prepare ourselves in our heart and in our minds and go forth as children that have the unshakable faith in our Creator. We will survive. We will go on to build a new world, and no one can stop that. I don't care the CIA, the FBI, I don't care what comes at the Creator. The Creator has a plan that will take care of his people. And basically, you know, that is my opinion on that.
Hallelujah.
All right, very good. Very good. Very
one thing
good.
That I want everybody to try to understand is, hello?
Yes, I'm here.
I want to make an announcement real quick for you all that are listening. We have about 34 more minutes of time. We will be going into overtime, which is another hour. If you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push 1. We would love to hear from you. There's a lot of information that we have to feed, and we do not feed the information for fear. I want to make that very clear. The reason why we give this information is because people have to come out of the unconscious state of mind that they're in. A lot of people are living in this fairy tale where they believe that, oh, it's going to be all right. They're going to pull through. They always do. No, we're on a prophetic timeline, and things are happening according to the word, and we have to prepare ourselves because, you know, we have to make sure that we have enough food, and we have to make sure that we have enough things to sustain us in the event of just a domestic terrorist. We have to prepare ourselves because it's only those who make preparation will survive. A lot of people are like, well, the Lord will take care of me or he'll provide. No, when they invaded Israel, when the Romans invaded Israel in 70 A.D., there were so many bodies stored up. They were killing off so many of our people that they said that they were storing bodies in houses as makeshift morgues and things like that to be able to house the people. So there is, he gives us a mandate to come together. He gives us an order to gather together as a nation so that we can, this information is out here so that we can make you aware that just because the sun is shining doesn't mean it's a beautiful day. While we think it's a beautiful day and TV has us hypnotized, they are moving their strategies forward. So we have to put this information out there so people can see, yes, relax. It's not panic mode. Don't get in a big frenzy, but you still got to be prepared because it's only those that are prepared that will be able to get anything done and be able to survive what's coming. Brother Donia, go ahead. You can have the floor.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, see, the Almighty, the creator of all things, the power of the universe, he has made a decree that shall not be transgressed. Now, the decree that he made was that he had a way that the earth is supposed to act and how we are, as his people, are supposed to act. You understand? Now, we can spin it any kind of way that we want to spin it. And it's been spent a number of ways. Everybody got their understanding on how it's supposed to go. You understand? But the Almighty, you understand, he has the key. The key is the Almighty. He has set certain things up, laws, statutes, ordinances, and how the grass shall grow when it's watered. You understand? So when we start inventing grass and, you know, they got artificial turf. You understand? All of that stuff is not real and it's not going to last. The Almighty has set things up so that, you understand, there's a pattern how things, if you water the grass, it'll grow. That's just an example that I'm giving. You understand what I'm saying? And certain things that you do, if you let the vegetation fall back onto the ground this year, next year you have bigger fruit. You understand? So he set things all up, you understand? So we can sit back, you understand, and say, oh, well, these folks know what they're doing, and they scientists and this and that and the other. That's the problem. They scientists. The Almighty is the creator of everything. He put all things in place, you understand? And he also, he's the one that's orchestrating all of this here. You know why he's orchestrating all of this? It's because he wants the glory from the whole earth. Everybody, when this place is destroyed and desolate, like he said, you understand, everybody will know it was the Almighty that did this. And
everyone
he will get
will
this.
Know.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we just want to reiterate, we have a lot of people on the line that are new to this. We have Christians on the line. We have Muslims on the line. We have some of my dear friends have decided to call in, and they are listening. And then it's a beautiful opportunity that we have to give some information. We are dealing with a lot of anti-prophecies that are going on right now. We're watching things unfold right before our eyes. You know, they're in place and preparing things for us right now as we speak to gain control over the whole world. Daniel, the book of Daniel, was unfolding right in front of our eyes, and they have us hypnotized. We are hypnotized to the point where we feel like that we have the ability to be comfortable with where we are. And you know, the scripture says, watch as well as pray, as in the days of Noah. They are doing it right now. They are restructuring DNA. They have a situation where they have now come up with a way to have two mothers and one daddy. They have restructured the DNA of our food. They've restructured the DNA of our human DNA. They are doing everything that they did back in the days of Noah that they are doing now that we were told to beware of. These are the things that are happening. And we encourage you, cut the TV off. If you have children, stop them from watching TV all day. Cut the video games off. We need to start to educate our children as to our culture, as to our heritage, and as to the promises that were given to us. Because as these things unfold, the Most High has a promise that's attached to Israel, that Israel would not perish. And for those other people that are in those other nations that come along with us and follow the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, everything else will fall into place for them as well. But because the television has us so hypnotized and we are so busy watching television, we are missing the fact that things are unfolding right in front of us. And I want to play a little bit more of this, and then I'm going to get some more information. If my phone drops, I will call back. I am on a cell phone. I want to make an announcement. If you know of anyone else that would like to join in on this conversation, now is the time, because at 5:30 when we go into overtime, you will not be able to call in. Only the people that are on the show now will be allowed to participate in the show. So I'm going to play just a little bit more of this. Here we go.
Who want this transhumanism. There's nothing that they can throw at us that if you maintain your integrity and stay within your own bounds, and I would encourage everybody, draw those boundaries now, because they're going to be really working on your psyche to try to get you to change them. Draw your boundaries now, figure out where they are, and then work within that. You know, I've got a very good friend who shares a lot of these views. She just got an Apple computer because she had to for work. And she says, well, you know, if I'm going to be logging onto Facebook, if I'm going to be logging onto these places for my work to convey these important privacy notions and to convey this important stuff, I'm going to do it with my eyes open, fully aware, and also not become addicted. They call it nomophobia, I think is the name of it. It's cell phone addiction, and they found that like over 50% of people are suffering from cell phone.
I mean, this is really, really coming to a head.
You know, I had somebody 28 years old write into me through my radio show and say, I went back to college. I'm in with a bunch of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. And, by the way, present company excluded, all you young people listening to Alex, amen to you and thumbs up. But, you know, he was writing that you can't even carry on a conversation with these people. They're shifting. Their eyes are shifting around. They're moving from foot to foot. They can't hear the end.
They have no attention span. They've been programmed down. I mean, we know it. We're thinking they're trendy, and there's no one even home now.
You know, it is the most disturbing thing. And so what do we do? Well, first of all, I think it is okay to put your foot in the water and use some of these technologies. I do. I'm not going to get a microchip implant. They will have to shoot me before I will ever do that. Or if you believe what the Bible has to say about that, they will behead the people who will refuse to ultimately sign up for whatever form the mark of the beast takes. So I've got my lines that I've drawn. I pay for all my payments in cash. I do not use a credit card. I can count on my fingers the number of times I've used a credit card in the last 10 years.
We've got to keep cash alive.
We have to, but, you know, but again, I was thinking about this. The guy driving down Main Street in the 1920s in his mule cart, you know, at some point, that guy's going to get old and die, and then everybody drives a car. Or the people who said no to the telephones, who thought it was impersonal. You know, the Amish are fascinating to me because they've actually said no and let all of the freeway of technology race around them, and they're still on their mules without their phones.
Well, it's the frequency pollution.
And, you know, I was reading my Bible recently, and if...
All right, now let's go to something else. Go ahead. You guys got a comment about that one?
Shalom. Yeah. this is Adonia. Is that Alex Jones radio commentator?
Yes, sir. That was Alex Jones, and I forgot her name. Her last name is Albright, and
yeah,
she is one of the ones. But, I mean, no matter what you do, I mean, this is going to go forth because the Bible is not going to lie. It's not going to lie on itself. It's going to confirm. It's going to complete. It is going to fulfill itself. So it's not. There's no way to keep cash alive because they're going to do whatever they need to do. The one thing people don't understand is when the Most High gives a mandate, that's what it is. Simple and
that
plain.
That is correct.
So our job is to get our people educated to the point where they know what to do, because one thing about Israel, one thing about Jacob, he said, I am going to make a place of safety from you so that you do not have to go through this. And a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters do not know about the wilderness. They teach about rapture, but nobody teaches about the wilderness. And ethnically, from a nation standpoint, that is our place of safety. So nobody is teaching wilderness. Nobody is teaching. He has a way of escape for us, and we have to be able to get this information out to the masses of people. Go ahead, brother.
I made mention of that yesterday, you know, on Powell Talk. I asked the question as to, has anybody heard about going into this valley between two mountains and we will be saved from the total destruction and annihilation from the Almighty? And they brought up certain scriptures, you understand, I want to say it's between Mount Pisgah and Ephrat, but I'm not sure about the names of those places. But at that particular, that was supposed to be able to save us from the total destruction of the Almighty. You understand? Now, what happens is that people go to services, you understand, to hear what had transpired in the scriptures, you understand, and nobody talks about our conditioning today. They don't even try to relate it. Most of the peoples, the mores and et cetera, they don't relate that to the conditions that we're in today and how to get out of this mess. You understand? They just talk about, you know, it's learning the scripture by rote. You understand? You come every year, and every year they'll tell you the same story. You understand? But nothing about how to get out of this mess. And that's what we need.
Right.
We need somebody that's going to tell us how to get out of this mess and relate it to the scripture. First, one thing that I know, man, we've been in numerous of captivities, you understand, and we were able to get out of that mess. This is the last captivity that we're ever going to endure, you understand, because we're supposed to have the fear of the Almighty that he would put us back into something like this again. See, when we get into the land, you understand, that we control, you understand, we're supposed to set up a wall, and all the things that went down throughout our history is supposed to be written on that wall, so we can go there, you understand, and refresh our mind on the things that had happened to us. You understand? It's supposed to be at the entry of the city. You understand? So these things, man, you understand, had to happen in order for us not to go and let it happen again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Mahalaya, you have a comment?
I have a question. I'm sorry, it might sound silly, but I did come in a little late. Again, I was I had a few technical difficulties. But the particular place, the valley, or the particular area that everyone is supposed to go for safety, What is that exact area?
Uh-huh.
Can someone tell me?
I'm not sure.
Go ahead.
I'm almost certain it's in the Middle East. You understand? But I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be at. You understand? And then see, here's the thing: is if we came together, you understand, in the name of Yah and righteousness, you understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mighty will tell us. He will show us and guide us in that direction, you understand, and make it so that we can get there, you understand. For some of us say that the land going to dry up, you understand, we'll be able to walk to Israel. That's what I heard. Now, I'm not sure. I've never read that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Let me go to, hold on one moment, please. I'm going to take another. I'm getting that information from you, sister. Hold on 1 minute. I want to play one more clip while I gain that information for her, because there are countless scriptures that talk about the wilderness, the place of safety from Jacob's trouble, and I'm going to get all of those scriptures for you so you'll have them. And for anyone else that, well, matter of fact, what I'll do, Mahalia, is I will send you a clip. How about that? I will email it to you after the show is over, the whole teaching
That'd
on
be
it.
Wonderful.
And anyone else who would like to have the teaching on the wilderness, please email us at the Yehudah Project, YEHUDAH Project, PROJECT, at gmail.com, and we will send you the link with the teaching on it that spells it out, what to look for, when we're expected to leave. Because I had one more, Ray. I asked him a question. I said, how long, how much time do we have from the point of contact to actually get to the wilderness? And he gave me a timeline of 45 days. So I'm not really sure, and we're still in, and that is my biggest issue right now that I am dealing with, is the exit strategy, because is it the 400-year prophecy or is it the wilderness? And both of them have to be fulfilled. So I'm assuming and I am hoping that the 400-year prophecy comes first, because according to Scripture, and this is debatable by a lot of people as well, they calculate the first slave ship that are actually bringing slaves to the United States was 1619. So according, if that calculation is correct, then 2019 would mark our 400-year travel in captivity here in this land. And it was only given 400 years, if that is the appropriate calculation. Now, the wilderness is identified clearly, and that is in the New Testament. A lot of people do not believe in the New Testament, but it is clearly the abomination of desolation. And some people say that that has already happened and this is not going to happen again. And we have clear teaching on that as well to bring about all of that. So I will email you that information to your email today after the show is over, and anyone else that wants it to compare it up against notes. And this is why it's good that we have pastors on the line, because then we will be able to get information to the pastors. And these are scholars, people that have been in the scriptures for years and years and years, that run ministries and have churches and all this kind of stuff. So this is the importance of it all coming together as one conglomerate. But she made mention of something happening with getting your head cut off if you do not take the mark of the beast, which is in Revelation chapter 13. But I want to play this little clip, and I want to know what you guys think about this one. Here we go.
Pamela Schuker is reporting from North Carolina. I was riding on a bus from Butte, Montana, to North Carolina when I met a young man all dressed up in full and impressive Army Ranger uniform. He carried his 445 mag gun and many knives and several phones and military backpack and other equipment. He told me he was a staff sergeant from Fort Lewis. Fort Lewis is where many modern buildings have been stored for a long time for use in martial law. I teased him at first and told him I knew all about the modern buildings in Fort Lewis. He was shocked. He said, "How did you know? This is highly classified information." I told him that the U.S. military was not telling the young man like him, but these guillotines will be used on Americans and Christians in the future under martial law to behead all New World Order resistors. The longer he listened, the angrier he got. Using a few choice expletives, he said, "They never told us this would be used on Americans under martial law to get rid of all Christians and New World Order resistors. We thought they would be used in Iraq or something." He then asked me to tell him more and more. Finally, so angry at how they were being deceived and brainwashed, he told me, "I will never go along with this New World Order agenda. I am a Christian. I will contact my men in my platoon, 64, and those I can trust who are Christians. I will tell them the truth. I was supposed to go to Fort Hood for more special ops training next week, and then return to train my men in how to operate these buildings. There is a special underground training center where the guillotines are. We are not allowed to bring in any cameras, cell phones, etc., because of high security and silence regarding these guillotines. They are 6.5 feet high, with hand restraints and a place for a person's head as they stand. We were going to use dummies for practice, But now I am refusing this assignment, and I will contact the men under me like in trust who will not go along with this NWO agenda, and will come out instead with Humvees, weapons, and everything we can get our hands on to fight this New World Order agenda.
All right, what do you think about that? They said that they have some guillotines already in place.
I told you that. They got everything set right up, man. So if we don't do nothing to get up to get in sync with the Almighty, see, we have to get closer to the Almighty and trust in Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. You understand? In order for Him to protect us, because we done told that same story to the Almighty before in our last captivity. And He brought us up out of there. You understand what I'm saying? And we fooled Him. We manipulated Him. You understand? And now, you understand, that now that we're in this captivity, we got to show the Creator that we want to be out of here. You understand? We want to come back to Him. You understand? Because if we don't try to do that, you know, what they call it, what they say is the mouth could say anything. You understand what I'm saying? The mouth can say anything, tell any kind of lie. You understand? But you got to prove some of that stuff. You can say, I apologize all you want. But if your actions don't go along with what you said, you understand what I'm saying? That then we ain't doing nothing but pissing in the wind. Hallelujah.
Sister Mahalaya, you got a comment you want to make?
I don't know. I just feel as though, you know, all of these movies that they have, you know, about the UFOs and the end of the world, they are definitely trying mm-hmm. to psychologically prepare us for the end of the world. However, you know, as I said before, you know, this is nothing new. And I really believe that unless you prepare yourself in your heart and in your mind and in spirit, I don't think that you will be saved. And, you know, I just go back to that because we can't fight the army. We can't fight these nuclear arsenals that they have. We can't fight these robots that they say they have underground. We can't. They have things they can put in the water that'll just kill black people or just kill white people. You know, they have the things that they have today are beyond our control. What we do have is our Creator. That's what we have. And He will defend, He will save us. Now, and as far as preparation is concerned, there are a lot of things that we can do in terms of, as you say, turn off the television and try to eat healthier and grow your food and maybe try to move to a safer location. There are a lot of people right now that are trying to move to safer locations. You know, but at the end of the day, it is only our God that's going to save us, you know. So,
that's right.
You know.
Right.
So, you know. Again, I say that, you know, I don't feel it's good to fill your heart with fear. Stand and know. I you know, we have been in a situation here in Israel. We were surrounded by tanks. We were surrounded by mm-hmm. the Israeli army. And we thought, you know, that we would not live to see another day. Our whole community was surrounded. And I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not saying this to sound fanatical, but there are worse things than death. Because all of those people that were at Masada and they jumped off the cliff rather than go back into slavery, all of those people, that all of those bodies that you said were piled up in the temple, they're back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is supposed to come back again. So, I don't believe that this is the end. I don't believe it. You know, and we do need to have these kinds of talks. We do need to prepare ourselves, but we need to know that the only salvation is our God.
That is correct.
That's right. I agree. Let me make an announcement real quick. We have several people that are still in the chat line. Some people have just logged in. We want to make the announcement that we have 9 minutes before we are going into overtime. So if you want to be a part of the show and continue in, you'll have to call in before 5:30 because after 5:30 you will not be able to call in, and we want you to participate in the show if you want. Mahalaya, were you done? I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to make that announcement before someone got cut off after 5:30. I don't know if she's still, I know she's still on the line with us. And area code 111, I do still see you. And I wanted to say something. This is when, what, if you know Bible scripture and you know prophecy, the world will never end.
That is correct.
The world as we know it will never end. It's not going to be the end of the world. But there is a new world order that they're putting into place. And they do have certain things in place to try to depopulate the population, to gain
right.
control over everyone using technology and things like that. And the Bible speaks of all of these things being portrayed in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. They're there. And they're actually unfolding right before us. But the place of safety for Jacob has always been prepared by the Most High for us to run into and be safe during this period. So we're just trying to get this information out. And there's some that don't believe in that either. You know, and so it's going to come, what is going to come down to is your belief system, if you choose to believe a certain thing or not. And some people will either come along or not come along, you know, because of what they believe. But all we're telling the people is cut the TV off, start preparing. You know, you can store up some food in the event that something happens, because it could be something domestic as much as something as the power grid going down for 30 days. And it happened.
Well,
it could happen.
You see how they, you see in Atlanta how they had that fake snow. Any type of the earth, you know, and what the earth changes that are going on today, anything could happen. That's something that's just common sense, you know, for you to have, for you to know how to grow something or saving seeds or eating fresh fruit and vegetables instead of going to McDonald's. You know, just common sense things that everyone needs to be doing to prepare.
Right.
And you're
right,
absolutely
exactly. And
right.
And a lot of people. And you know what, sis? A lot of people don't have anything stored up. They rely on the fact that Kroger's is going to be open and we can go to Kroger's. Well, if something happens where there is a situation that is that covers our city, and everybody's going to be running to Kroger's, do you have something in store? Is there an emergency plan that you and your family have? Your grown children that are married with children, do you have a meeting spot? Do you have things secure in place where if something happens, you know what to do? And these are things that we're trying to get our people to understand. Let me open up the mic. Area code 111, go ahead, you're on the air. I guess their phone is on mute. We're going to give them a chance to open up their mic. Area code 111, your mic has been open. You're on the air. If you have a comment, a question, or a concern, please feel free. We're listening, and we would like to know what you have to say. Hello? We'll see what he has to say. But these are the things that we are talking about as a people to get our people prepared, because a lot of Christianity believes rapture. They're like, okay, we're going to rapture out of here. The Jesus is going to get us up out of here before anything happens. And from a Hebrew perspective, believing in the New Testament, no, and triple no, this thing is going to take place before anything takes place, and no, and triple no. So to have that many people, all we want to do is present another scenario so that you can weigh up the two and say, well, let me think about this. Let me put the two together and think about this and see exactly where we fit in. And that is the whole purpose of us doing this show, is to bring this information out for everyone to be able to see, because they're definitely doing some things that is diabolical, and the Most High is not pleased with it at all. Let me let you hear this about the designer babies. Listen at this. Here we go.
First Nightly News. It is Tuesday, February 25th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Well, U.S. regulators are weighing today the safety of a new technology that aims to eradicate genetic disorders in children by combining the DNA of three people, not two. That's right. This new technology is going to have one father and two mothers, which some people say could lead to designer babies. Now, this procedure is basically going to take a healthy donor DNA and take out the material that will be from the mother, which would determine things like hair color and intelligence, and then splice that with the healthy mitochondria DNA from the donor's material. So this isn't the first time that scientists have attempted to disrupt the actions of mitochondria DNA to help fight disease, nor is it the first time the FDA has considered the issue. From 1997 to 2003, about 30 children worldwide were born using a method that injected donor mitochondria DNA into eggs after they were fertilized. Now, the first baby born with this technique was reported in 1997, but in 2003, the FDA told fertility clinics that genetically manipulated embryos were considered a biological product and subject to regulation. So there's the catch. They're considered a biological product subject to regulation, much like we saw Monsanto patented their seeds. Are they going to patent these kids? I mean, are they going to be afforded the same rights as your average person? Because they're here, they're not considering them a real human. They're considering them a product. Where does it end?
What do you say about that one?
Shalom, shalom. Hey, this is Adonia. Shalom?
Go ahead. We listen.
Yeah, they've been trying to create anything that was contrary to the Almighty's creation. You understand? In the time of Adam, when they created the serpent, when the adversary created the serpent, all the way up till now, they got a program. They got a program on TV called Almost Human. You understand? Mm-hmm. And they got him as a light skinned brother. You understand what I'm saying? They're trying to get us on board with that stuff, too. You understand what I'm saying? So they trying to be king of the lab. In our case, in this case right here, it's king of the universe. They trying to be better than the Almighty. They want a superhuman that could take the place of the... they want a mankind. That's what it is, a kind of man. You understand that they wanted to try to put in place over human. You understand human in the sense of the color spectrum. You understand Almighty made us the color of our color is we are the color of the whole of the color spectrum. With the absence of white, I would say, because nothing, you can't mix any color to make white. So they wanted to try to do that with us, with the world, because they want to try to outdo the Almighty. They've been fighting against the Almighty all these hundreds of years, thousands of years, you understand? So it doesn't surprise me none. You know, what's really so ironic here is they contribute to their own demise. Here they storing up nuclear weapons. They got them stored up. Understand? At any given time, man, you understand, one of them things could, they could destroy, those nuclear weapons can destroy, you understand, the whole earth from what they say. But we talking about the Almighty, man. The Almighty created this. He created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. You understand? So there's nothing that's going to destroy the Almighty. Just like they trying to create this Superman, they trying to destroy the earth. They got us believing that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. You understand? We talking about the Almighty, the creator of all things, who said he would protect us and that nothing that they prevail will, nothing that they bring up will prevail against us. That's who we talking about, we dealing with. And our only thing that we have to do is we got to come back to him in truth, honesty, and righteousness, and with all our heart and with all our souls and all our might, and start doing something that's going to set up stuff. You know why we got to do something to set up something? Because we the people that prosper through these things that we set up. And we got to give God the glory because he's going to find favor with what we do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister
Mahalaya,
you have a comment?
Well, I think that, you know, in listening to all of these theories about, you know, the power and the might of the powers that be, we have to also look at what is happening scientifically and metaphysically in the world as well. You know, it is a proven fact that the DNA is changing. The DNA of human beings on the planet is being altered at this time. And it has been going through a process over the last 40 years. And there's a lot of scientific investigation that is going on and experimentation that's going on with the DNA because they're trying to understand what exactly is taking place. All of our children, you notice the babies that are coming onto the planet now, they're like super babies. They're nothing like the children, you know, from our peer group, Yaina. You know, they're able to hold their heads up now. I just had a granddaughter. She's holding her head up already, and the girl is 3 weeks old. You know, they're doing things that biologically that's never been done before. So the DNA of the human being is changed. And for the general population to know that, you know, they should be of great comfort. Because the things that they are plotting, the things that they are planning, you know, it has been proven that there is a power in our DNA where if they really wanted to try to destroy the planet and come after everyone in America or in different parts of the world, we have something in our DNA that's like a trigger. And for when you see mass destruction going on around you, when you see these types of things happening around you, that trigger will activate something. It will activate something in you as a human being which can stop this type of devastation that's going on around you. It's like something that would something inside of you that metaphysically speaking can keep you safe. The mind power now that they are so worried about. Because really, if they wanted to depopulate the planet, they could do it anytime they wanted to. Like I said, they have stuff they can just put in the water and just kill you, you know, just instantly. You know, they have the power and the mind. Why haven't they done it? It's because they know that human beings now have a power that they are not aware of, much more powerful than anything, excuse me, that they could ever devise. And, you know, the thing that we have to do is, like you said, we have to turn off those televisions. We have to stop eating the genetically modified foods. We have to stop drinking the chlorinated fluoridated water. And all of these other things, we have to eat more healthy and because these are the things that protect that DNA in us, the things that's going to preserve us and make us as a human race be able to deactivate whatever plan they have. So along with all of these reports on the cyborgs and the this and they have something in the news about a fly. It looks like it's a mosquito. Tiny, tiny little things.
Yeah, I heard about that.
These are, mm-hmm. Yeah, and these things, you'd never think that it's like a actual robot. I forgot what they call them. They're so small that you can practically not even see them. And then they have other little organisms, and I forgot the name of those, but they can actually habitate in your body and all of that. So what's going to come against that? God has to give us something to protect us as a human race, because if they were able to destroy everyone, they could have done that a long time ago. They know something that a lot of us don't know. We have a power within us to stop all of this. But our minds are so busy on television. Our minds are so busy on working and making money. Our minds are so captive with all of this American dream and war and all of these other things. We are distracted from who and what we really are. So, you know, it's very interesting, you know. But if you read some of those other reports that are coming out on the human DNA and how it really is mutating, you would understand that fear is the main thing that deactivates the power within you.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I do.
Shalom.
And I think that the reason why this is happening is because it is time for us to be restored back to our natural habitats as being his people. Because there's a power behind us being the chosen people of the Most High. And I believe that all of that dulled down because when we did our research scientifically, we figured out that we're only operating off of 2% of our DNA and that the code, the rest of it has been shut off. So for the DNA to be changing and the code to be turning back on to give us all of the scientific knowledges that we used to have when we were an ancient people and the things that we used to have access to spiritually that dulled down in the captivity, that I believe, I agree with you 100%. I do believe that our DNA has changed, that it is morphing back into what we were as a people spiritually so that we will be able to understand and hone in and be able to know through the Spirit of the Most High, through the Holy Spirit of the Most High, to be able to give us the knowledge that we need so we can operate appropriately as the people, because we are the priests. We are the kings and the priests of the land, and we have to operate, but we cannot operate in this dulled down state that we're in. And I agree with you 100%, and I believe that to be true, because some of us have had the ability to do things as we were kids that didn't make sense, that defied our
exactly.
logic, and tapped
exactly.
into some things that most people looked at us like we were kind of weird and it was something wrong with us, but that we tapped into something. And this is something that has been given to us as a nation of people to be able to do, and it
yes.
was commonplace for us to do those things. So
yes.
I can agree with you on that the DNA is changing to get us back to the state that we were so that we could move in a natural order like we used to move. I mean, because we did a radio show, about when our ancestors were going through the wilderness. And, you know, in Christianity, they always preach, you know, it was a cloud by day and a fire by night. You know, but when you really research the scriptures, you understand there was something hid behind that cloud. And the Most High told the children of Israel, don't trouble the angel in the cloud. You know what I'm saying? So when you understand what's really going on, it just changes everything up so completely. And it was natural for us to be able to adhere to that and be able to know that. You know, when the ancestors used to sing down, sweet low, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. You know, everybody considers that to be old Negro hymns. But I came to tell you today, it's a whole lot more meaning to that than what you think. And we
absolutely.
Have to be, those, these are the things, you know, when I'm, you know, girl, when I'm telling you, I'm trying not to get red up, but in conclusion, let me calm down in conclusion, because we have pastors on the line today, and I'm excited because of some of my friends took the time out of their day to call into the show, and the Most High is opening up the door for us to be able to walk into Christianity and tap into our people and be able to bring some knowledge to them that's going to change the whole trajectory of what they believe and give them back their identity. And I don't know if you know, but that's an exciting thing that's happening right here. I mean, for real.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Shalom, shalom. Ooh. This is Adonia. They're going to be calling you later on that. let me go for a minute.
I'm ready.
Yeah. See, the thing is, see, we, you know, in ancient times, the Almighty gave us the ability to be able to have dominion over the animals, and we supposed to be able to use the herbs of the field and et cetera. Those little insignificant, but they are significant. Things that the Almighty had said in the beginning of the scriptures, you understand, have to be looked at. You understand? See, we have to get back to a certain level of human that the Almighty had put on earth. You understand what I'm saying? We lost those abilities when our forefathers forsook the Creator all those many times, because that's what they did. You understand? They stepped on the Almighty's integrity when they went astray after other gods. You understand? So he took away a lot of our abilities. And now he's just bringing it back to us gradually, little by little. Now, like I said, if we gather ourselves, we have strength. We can gain, yes, we have absolutely the strength to do almost anything. You understand? In the name of the Almighty, in righteousness and humility. And I'll leave y'all with that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree with you.
Well, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to add that there's so many things that if you really are paying attention, there's so many things that are right in front of your eyes. But if you're not really, if you don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, you'll miss all of those things. Because as I said before, they want you to be steeped in fear. But the truth is there is a Christ energy that is coming to this planet.
Yes.
There is a Christ energy that is enveloping this planet right now. And scientifically, there are a lot of phenomena that they cannot explain. You know, there are spirals in the sky that are appearing all over the world. There are fireballs coming from the heavens onto the planet. There's so much phenomena that is happening now that should indicate to us that this is a special time that we are living in. And for those that believe in God, and those that want to worship him in fullness, and I mean not just with lip service, but with your heart, you know, because that's all God really wants. He wants your heart. You know, we can pay lip service all day long, and we can go to church, and we can pay tithes and do all of those things. You can come to Israel. You can wear the fringes. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can do whatever you want to do. But if you don't have him in your heart, if you don't love your brother with your heart, your whole heart, then it's all in vain. It's all a vanity. But we are living in a special time. And when God said that at the end time that there was going to be 1,000 years of peace that's going to reign on this planet, that means that he has something prepared for us, those that love him. And we have to understand that being human, you know, we're really spirits encased in human bodies. We are the sons and daughters of God, and there are those that are special and that are supposed to be a light or to be a sign. But the human being, you know, we have to look at ourselves in a way like we look at our children. Our children are parts of us. They are not, you know, they are a combination. They are parts of their parents. And being an infant, you don't have all of the powers and the abilities and things like that that your father and mother have, but you go through stages of evolution until you get to be an adult, until you can, you know, sit beside your mother and father as a true adult. But you always give that honor to who? Your parents, to your creator. So we have to know and understand that as human beings, we are going through stages of evolution. One day we'll be able to sit at the table with our creator, you know, because we are parts of our creator. But we have to have enough faith to know that, you know, this is not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, a lot of our original powers were lost, and they weren't lost accidentally. You know, sometimes, you know, your father or mother might take something away from you, because they know that you need to learn and you need to understand. Well, you can't do this, you know. So the Creator is not hating us when he takes something away from us. In essence, we really took it away from ourselves because the truth was hidden. Yes. So all we have to do at this point is know that it's not going to be overnight, but at the same time, it's not going to be a whole lot of us either that is going to move into this new world, this new earth. It's not going to be a lot of us, because it's never been a lot of us. It's going to be those that love him and that were devoted to him and that stood by him and kept his word. Those are the ones that are going to be saved. It's never been about numbers, you know. So our job is to blow the horn. Our job is to let everyone know what time it is and to search your heart. Search your heart for the pureness and the love of God, and do whatever it is that you need to do, because if you want to activate that DNA, if you want to activate the Christ consciousness in you, then you're going to have to stop eating certain things. You're going to have to stop, you know, doing some of these crazy dances and listening to some of this degenerative music that's out there. All of these things are being done to our children, the drugs and the sexual perversion and all of these other things are being spread in an attempt to deactivate that God chip in us. So, you know, like I feel as though we are doing our job in alerting everyone, letting everybody know what time it is, and preparing yourself because it will happen. But, you know, I'm not afraid. I say bring it on, because I know I'm going to be standing there.
I know that's right. I'm with you with that. I'm with you on that 100%. Well, and now it's my turn, and I would like to say, you know, that a lot of people, like I said, we're multicultural on this line. There are people that believe in Christ. There are people on the line that just are Old Testament believers. But the one thing that we do have in common is our ethnicity, and everybody's going to that wilderness. He said, because in that place, I'm going to reason with the rebels, and in that place, I'm going to talk to you face-to-face. So we're going to have a face-to-face business meeting with the Most High, and it's in that place where all of the answers are going to be settled, and in that place where we're going to find out just what's what and just who's who. And, you know, when you deal with understanding about all of the things that make up the human body, you know, it's a dynamic piece of work, and one day we're going to do a lesson on that. Let me make some announcements real quick, too. Passover for us is April the 12th. We will be having Passover in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you are interested in coming to Cincinnati, Ohio, to celebrate the Passover with the Nation of Yehuda, with Israel Now, please email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. We're also going to launch our school, the first Wednesday of April. We're launching our school. Our school is going to be free to all of those who are interested in joining. We will have interactive screening where you will actually be able to see presentations just like you're taking a distance learning class from a regular college. And we're going to have all of this set up for those people who have just become conscious and they want their families to be made aware of this information. It's going to be a basic overall teaching of everything. If you're interested in being an instructor, please email us. We are taking applications right now for our instructors. Each particular topic is going to be 8 weeks long, and it's for an hour and a half from 7 o'clock in the evening until 8:30 in the afternoon, and it's going to be an eight-week long class. Upon completion, you will receive a certificate of completion from the Nation of Yehuda, and we're looking forward to this. Also, we've started putting our calendar together. We are going to do a think tank in Atlanta, Georgia. We're looking around the 1st of November as a date, and we also need as many people as we can to help to facilitate this project with us. Those who are part of our board meeting, we will have our board meeting today at 6:30, because I think we're going to wrap this up in a few minutes and give everyone a chance to get together and get prepared for the board meeting. For you all who don't know the number to the board meeting, it is 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. This is a closed board meeting only for those members of the Nation of Yehuda. So we ask those out of courtesy to please do not call into the conference call today at 6:30. We are planning to launch our website this week. We're finally ready to do that. We have had some donations come in. People have helped us. Someone's helping us to finish up and finalize our logo. So we're getting that together as we speak. But we just wanted to say thank you to everyone. We could go on and on and on about the things that are coming. We could go on and on and on about the things that we need to do to prepare. But it's like Brother Adonai said, Sister Mahalia, we've got to come together as a nation. Like she said, we cannot be afraid. We have to be willing to stand up
and be counted, because we are his chosen people. We are the apple of his eye, and we are the kings and priests. We are the priests that is going to lead the other nations to the Most High and to be in right standing with him. So our responsibility is a little different from everyone else's, and he is beginning, the knowledge of who we are is spreading like wildfire. It's going through all. I've had a young lady contact me from Brooklyn, New York, and she talks about the pastors and the bishops and all of the people who are coming on board and waking up. They just aren't quite sure how to introduce it to their congregation because, you know, when you have a newborn baby, you can't feed them milk. Cereal. You got to feed them milk for a minute and then add a little cereal to the milk, you know. But when you're talking about grown babies, you got to deal with arrogance and attitude, and I know this, and I've been knowing this for years, and you can't, and all of that. The Most High has to use very skilled and qualified people to be able to bring this information to his people, and to be, and he's the one that will open up their eyes so they'll be able to see it. So, you know, it's very important that we do it in love, that we love one another, that we complete the task that has been laid before us, and that we do what we need to do. So, I won't play any more clips for you today. Does anyone have any parting comments? Brother Donia, Sister Mahalia?
Well, I guess I could just make a point, just because this the program has a lot of different people on the line, and I want everyone to know when I talk about Christ consciousness, I don't look at Christ consciousness as being one denomination. I look at Christ consciousness as being universal consciousness. And I definitely believe that it's going to take all of us together to solve the problems on this planet. Male, female, you know, it's just a matter of finding that heart, the center, the heart center, to do the work of our Creator.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Donnie, you got some last parting words?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, if you're afraid of getting on board here and trying to find a way out of this mess, you should be afraid of not doing it, because they got something for us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It might be unaware of what we think, but if we don't get on board and try to do something in our own behalf, you understand, we going to perish as a whole nation. You understand? Although the Almighty said that he was not going to make an end to us, I believe that he was not going to make an end to us. But this generation will perish, and the next generation will have to try to do something out of those concentration camps. That's going to be the task. You know, so I just want everybody to know that I love each and every one of you, and I'm sticking to that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and I hope
Hallelujah.
It doesn't come to that, and I hope we don't have to deal with that, because if we can do it now, we came here. A lot of people's children don't even know how we got here. A lot of people don't even teach their children about that. You know, when we talk about the transatlantic slave trade, no one has ever been persecuted or prosecuted because of what they did. There's never been any charges filed. No one has ever been brought to court on the cruelty and the indecent treatment that we received as people. And until we bring it back, because the scripture says to remember the days of old and tell unto your children, call for the elders to give that information. This is our heritage. This is our history. This is why we're in this land in the first place. And
Hallelujah.
As I said last week, the president of Ghana wanted to apologize to us and offer us an opportunity to come back to Ghana if we wanted to. And we say thank you for the apology, but no thanks. We came to one country. We built this country. The next country we build will be our own. We are going
Hallelujah.
Back to the land. We will eventually have our own land, and we're waiting on that moment to take place. But in the meantime and in the between time, we came as a nation. We have to build as a nation so we can leave as a nation, and we will be leaving this land. And on that note, we say we'll see you next week, same time, same place. If you have anything you want to give to us or information that you need about the school, information that you need about anything, please email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. Sister Malaya, don't forget about the meeting tonight at 6:30. Brother Donny, we got a 6:30 meeting. We will only meet for 1 hour as we did last week. We look forward to everybody being on the call today. And we just want to say thank you so much for everything and all of you taking the time out to give us a call and give us a shout out so that we can do what we need to do. And we say shalom, shalom, and thank you for another edition of the Yehuda Project.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you so much for attending another edition of the Yehuda Project. We'll see you back here next week, same time, same place. And again, if you'd like to be a part of the movement, the Nation of Yehuda is on the move, email us at the Yehuda Project, Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, at gmail.com, the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. Or if you'd like to send us a donation, our address is P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240. Or if you would like to be a part of the movement that's going on with the think tank in Atlanta, don't forget to email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and we'd like to get you on board because we're doing some great things for the Most High, and we're getting our people prepared so we can go home. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Thanks so much for calling in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.